All right, we're back again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Mush Squad Podcast. My name is Joe Mack. This is JG motherfucking 12. We're back again. Garris, we're going to talk about that super wild card weekend. Little recap when it comes to the NFL. That's basically what we're breaking down this week. Six awesome games. Well, awesome to a degree. And then we'll preview the divisional round that's coming up. In a blink of an eye, 2 days from now, we'll talk about the divisional round. We obviously have some coaches and GM updates for teams. We'll do the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week. A great, great fucking topic this week, as per JG12. We have the ESPN trivia questions, trying to stump 12, as always, 0 for 2 so far. The Mush Squad Bet of the Week, and some final words for LeBron. But let's start it off. Like we were talking, a little bit of NFL wild card weekend. We'll run it down in order as the games played, except for one, which we'll save for last. Starting it off, Bengals 26, Raiders 19. Bengals get their first playoff win in 31 years. John, how old are you, my boy?
31 years old.
This is the first time in your life the Cincinnati Bengals have a playoff victory.
All they had to do was get rid of Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton. Okay. But big ups, Joe Burrow. You know, I was listening to ESPN Radio this week. He was on with, I want to say, Mike Greenberg or maybe Barton Hahn in the afternoon. And they were talking about how devoted and dedicated Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are to the game of football. Like, when you live in Cincinnati, there really isn't anything to do. So, especially in January. So they are balls to the wall, devoted to the game, devoted to this team. And it shows. And obviously both had decent to pretty good games. What are your takeaways from this game?
I mean, I tell you what, I've been reading all about Joe Burrow now. I think he's probably the up-and-coming superstar right now in the NFL. Bengals are probably the scariest team in the playoffs right now. Him and Ja'Marr Chase, their chemistry is ridiculous. It looks like they haven't lost a beat since the national championship game with LSU in 2019.
Tigers to Bengals.
Exactly. And it's just one of those things. I think the Bengals are going to be it's kind of like the passing of the torch. We touched on it on a few episodes ago where like the Steelers are kind of fall back. And I think now it's the Bengals' turn to take over. Zach Taylor is a brilliant play caller. He a brilliant schemer. And like I said, they're scary. Who wants to see them in the playoffs right now? Tennessee's going to have their hands full. I just read Trey Hendrickson, one of their best pass rushers, just cleared concussion protocol. So he's going to be available to play in the game. And they're going to have all hands on deck going into Tennessee.
Yeah, we kind of got spoiled over the last 5 to 6 weeks with what Ja'Marr Chase has been doing, those 270-yard, three-touchdown games, the breaking rookie records left and right games. But a mellow 9 receptions, 116 yards, an additional 23 yards rushing. My man is turning into a legitimate top 5 wide receiver in the league 100%. In his first year.
And you say those stats, that's a bad game for him compared to the
Hold on a second. I lost you here for a sec on my end. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. What were you just saying? So I said Ja'Marr Chase, 9 for 116, legitimate top 5 receiver. What are your thoughts?
And you say those stats, and that's a that's a bad game for him, honestly, the way he's been crushing it these last few weeks. But yeah, he's going to be probably the guy in the NFL eventually, because he's been on a tear. The defense knows who they're trying to get the ball to. They have two other receivers that are legit in T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, both 1,000-yard capable receivers. Plus Joe Mixon coming out of the backfield. It's kind of a pick your poison type of offense approach when you mess around with the Bengals.
Yeah, that offense is well-rounded. And, you know, it shows. Congrats to the Bengals getting past the Raiders, making it to the divisional round. In what was arguably one of the most hyped up games of the weekend, but the biggest flop, especially when it comes to, unfortunately, our Mush Squad bets of the week. We didn't do well. Bills 47, Patriots 17. All the talk, all the hype all week last week was Josh Allen's not a cold weather quarterback. Josh Allen's not a good quarterback when the temperature gets below freezing. Josh Allen, although he has the cannon, can't control. 21 to 25, 308, and 5 touchdowns. I think he did okay. Devin Singletary, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Singletary the last 3 weeks has really jumped up. Obviously, he's been splitting time with Zach Moss. Even Matt Breida has been getting carries out of the backfield. But Singletary is that back, that's the feature back in Buffalo now. And you know, John, you have defensive background as a corner and D-back. What can you say about this defensive team, this Bills defense?
Well, I mean, the Bills defense, if you were watching the game, it was 7-0. Mac Jones was driving towards their territory, in their territory, took a shot to the end zone. And they picked off the pass, which could have been a touchdown leading to 7-7, which could have probably made the game a lot closer. But they kind of, that interception itself kind of swayed the whole game to go towards the Bills' side. And you got it. Not even just talking about their defense, talking about Josh Allen going against a Bill Belichick coached defense to throw for 5 touchdown passes and only throw 4 incomplete passes is saying a lot. And that's what's his name? Oh shoot, what the hell's the offensive coordinator's name again?
Daboll.
Oh yeah, his stock is freaking rising, especially after going against Bill.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's kind of like, man, shame on Bill Belichick. How the hell you go into Buffalo where you beat them throwing 3 passes and you just completely lay a fucking egg? Like, what happened to that defense? What happened to that rushing attack? They couldn't get anything going, it seems like. And the Bills just absolutely dominated. And people have been saying it all year that the Bills, when they're all on, with Josh Allen's on point, they're, who's going to stop them, really?
Right.
Yeah. And it showed last week that everybody was firing on all cylinders and they looked unbeatable.
Yeah, you have, you know, this time last year, Dawson Knox wasn't even the best tight end on the team. The work he put in, Stephon Diggs, obvious. Stephon Diggs will never get enough credit from me for what he did. He had a bad parting of the ways with the Vikings, didn't see eye to eye, wanted more money. They end up replacing him with Justin Jefferson, obviously still have Adam Thielen. But you think Buffalo, okay, now he's going to be a threat. He's had 2 all-pro caliber seasons in Buffalo. Yeah. And what really is stuck in my brain is the image of him in the AFC Championship game after they lost to the Chiefs, standing on the sidelines, watching them, the Chiefs' victory, and watching them win the Lamar Hunt Trophy, go into the AFC Championship, win the AFC Championship, go into the Super Bowl, and throwing him back in the rotation. Obviously, we talked about the three-headed monster in the backfield of Breida, of Moss and Singletary, and Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox has thrust himself into a top 5 tight end caliber player right now. And shout out to another white boy in the league doing the damn thing. Can't be mad at that. In a game that looks a lot closer than it was based on the score, Buccaneers 31, Eagles 15, Jalen Hurts just didn't get it done. Just couldn't do anything. 23 of 43, 2 turnovers. Jalen Reagor, who's might be the biggest bust of that draft last 2 years ago, with a muffed punt. You can't make mistakes. In the playoffs, you can't make mistakes, especially against the defending, reigning, undisputed Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do you got to say about this?
Well, Jalen Reagor, first and foremost, I think Howie Rosen was getting they do those departing interviews right before the season wraps up. And he was even saying how disappointed in Reagor that it's his 3rd year now. They were hoping that he would step up and be worthy of that first round pick that they spent on him. But that has been the furthest thing from the case. But this is all about the Bucs. This is the Bucs. This is Tom Brady. Tom Brady's one of those quarterbacks where he just elevates everybody's play around him. It doesn't matter Mike Evans. It doesn't matter if you're the third receiver, the fourth receiver. You know you have Tom Brady. You know what you're going in every week, week in and week out. You're getting the best quarterback, the best preparer, the guy that knows the most football on your team. And he just elevates everybody around him to be the best player that they could possibly be. And there's never been an athlete, there's never been a football player, never been a quarterback like that ever. I mean, they have their hands full next week, but it, I mean, it's hard to go against Brady.
The expectation is Mike Evans is going to be have good games. He's legitimately on the path to be a Hall of Famer, 8 straight 1,000-yard seasons. No other NFL wide receiver has done that, period, the start of career. Gronk on the way to a potentially fifth Super Bowl ring, one of the greatest tight ends of all time. But Giovanni Bernard and Keyshawn Vaughn contributing to this team. Obviously, no Leonard Fournette last week. Potential for seeing him this week in the matchup. But just like you said, Brady lights the fire under these guys' asses, unlike anybody else in the history of the sport, and gets the best out of everybody. I do want to turn this back to that conversation, though, about Jalen Reagor. Looked up some stats. These three wide receivers were all drafted after Jalen Reagor in the draft. Okay. Ready?
Good.
Justin Jefferson to Minnesota. That's the next pick.
Enough said.
So the Philadelphia Eagles chose Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. Brandon Ayuk to the 49ers. So again, solid wide receiver for the 49ers. And then a sleeper in the second round, your boy, my boy, Indianapolis Colts wide receiver, Michael Pittman Jr.
Oh, 1,000-yard receiver.
All three of those receivers drafted after Jalen Reagor. Shout out to Philly.
That's awful.
We had a bad week when it came to the Mush Squad Bet of the Week 12. And the second game, I was feeling super confident after the first quarter. First quarter ended 0-0. Okay. That means if you don't know what game we're talking about, this is Chiefs Steelers. We took the Steelers plus 12.5. Steelers went up 7-0 in this game.
They did.
We were playing with a 19.5.
Let's go. 19.5 points.
I was on cloud nine. I was enjoying myself. And then Mahomes went God mode. Okay. 30 of 39, 404 yards, 5 touchdowns. Kelsey threw a touchdown, had a receiving touchdown. Hill had a receiving touchdown. We had a big man touchdown in this game. Okay. Shout out to the offensive lineman, but Chiefs win the game 42-21. They drop 35 consecutive points in this game. When the Chiefs are playing like this, what can stop them, John?
Not much. Jesus Christ himself, perhaps. But honestly, Big Ben knew it. All the fans knew it. Steelers were in way over their head with this one. We didn't think that much over their head, but they were that much over their head.
Yep.
You brought up a good point with Jerick McKinnon. Everybody that doesn't maybe follow football, when he was with the Vikings, he was an absolute stud, got paid by the 49ers, and for basically 3 years had to deal with injuries, and now he's healthy again, and he is a mismatch nightmare for any defense. He's just as good as a receiver as he is a running back, and I think he's going to be a huge X factor for the Chiefs going forward to this run to try to get back to the Super Bowl.
He reminds me of LeSean McCoy when he was with the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Necessarily the most, not the prime of his career anymore, but Shady McCoy was that shifty running back out the backfield who you could dump off into the flat or throw a bubble screen to, and he'd get 18, 20 yards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But fun fact about Jerick McKinnon, when he was with the 49ers, this is like our fantasy football league 4 years ago, I needed a running back and I had one too many wide receivers. So I traded somebody, Tyreek Hill, for Jerick McKinnon straight up. because I needed another running back. I had my wide receivers were stacked. This was before Tyreek Hill was the stud he is. That night, Jerick McKinnon tears his ACL. And then the first week in regular season, because we were still preseason, first week in the regular season, Tyreek goes for 270 yards and two touchdowns.
That's like, so, those are those fantasy injuries and moves that you make that stick with you for the rest of your life.
Forever. I'm never going to forget that. That one, and then Matt Asiata. I traded for Matt Asiata.
Yeah. That was one of my freaking Patrick Ramsey guys, just because of you.
He had six touchdowns in 2 weeks, and then after that, he didn't score another touchdown. Fucking Matt Asiata. Two more games to talk about. The Monday night game. Shout out ESPN. Shout out the NFL. Monday night playoff football. I fucks with it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Rams 34, Cardinals 11. This Rams team, it wasn't close at all. What do you got? I'll let you lead on this one.
Well, Stafford finally got his first career playoff win. So they always say once you get that, you just kind of want the monkey off your back so you can just forget about the pressure, forget about feeling the pressure. You could just move on and go forward and try to advance. It wasn't even close. The Rams, you know what you're going to get with the Rams. Extremely good play calling, extremely good scheming, extremely good mismatches all over the field. McVay's probably best in the league in all three categories. You can see what Odell's doing. Odell looks like what he did when he first came into the league. He hasn't missed a step. It looks like that time in the Browns, we all know whose problem that was. It was definitely not Odell's. It was somebody else's. But Rams look like they could possibly go into Tampa next week and beat them, especially if Stafford doesn't turn the ball over, because that's exactly what he did. He didn't turn the ball over. However, I must say in this game, too, their defense played out of this world. Kyler Murray was lost the entire game. It looked like he never even played football before. And I think there was a video of, I think it was Russell Wilson on the Mannings, where he's like, right now, if I was Kyler, I'd be going up and down the sidelines telling everybody, like, let's go. It's possible. It's possible. We could do this. We could do this. And then they zoomed in on Kyler Murray, and he was just sitting there. He was just sitting there looking dazed and confused on the bench.
Yeah, he looked like a little boy. He's a small quarterback. But standing next to Von Miller, standing next to Aaron Donald, he was running for his life the entire game. He didn't have the time. The offensive line didn't hold up. I love the fact that Odell scores the touchdown and then does the vein as if he's like injecting himself with steroids. And the next day he had to get a piss test for steroids for PEDs. But one thing we failed to mention on this game, yo, shout out Cam Akers, bro.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Six months ago to the day yesterday, Cam Akers tore his Achilles. Okay. That's a 10 to 12 month turnaround. Klay Thompson tore his Achilles. It took him a year and a half. Obviously he had the knee injury too, but my man was back on the field playing football and being productive with 18 touches for 95 yards 6 months after tearing his Achilles. That's crazy. That's crazy. And then we come to our last game. John Garris, our resident Dallas Cowboys fan. I yield to you, my friend. I'm going to sit back for a second. I'm going to put my microphone on mute. You have the floor.
I didn't even write any notes on this because I've been saying the same spiel to everybody that I've been talking to. First and foremost, you have a team like the Dallas Cowboys this year who were tops on offense, number one for most of the season in scoring offense, top five on the defense. You have three All-Pros, Diggs, Parsons, and Zach Martin. You have five Pro Bowlers. You are the team, if not the team. You created the most turnovers in the NFL. You scored the most touchdowns in the NFL. And you come out and you lay a fucking egg against the San Francisco 49ers, who everybody and their mother could tell you what their game plan is. Pound the ball, get Debo the ball, throw it every now and then. First drive of the game, San Francisco comes down, punches the Cowboys in the mouth. 7-0. Cowboys come out flat. Cowboys rest of the game look like shit. Cowboys rest of the game weren't in sync. Dak Prescott was lost the entire game. And if you've seen it, Troy Aikman even quoted saying, like, if he was playing, it wouldn't matter what the scheme was. It wouldn't matter what you're trying to be too cute, find the open guy, find this guy. No, you're trying to get the best player the ball all the time. So you would abuse CD Lamb. They're doing single covered on CD Lamb. He's not covered the entire game. Name a corner on the 49ers.
Couldn't.
Exactly. CD Lamb had one catch for the entire game. 1,000-yard receiver, 10-touchdown receiver, one catch. Mike McCarthy needs to go. I was never a fan of him from the beginning when we first hired him. Somebody's sloppy seconds can never lead you to the Super Bowl, and Cowboys already have enough issues within the organization to have a coach like this. You have 14 penalties. 14 penalties means you're an undisciplined football team, period. That means that's a reflection of who? Your head coach of the football team, Mike McCarthy. You're an undisciplined football coach. That's 14 penalties. Take away two. Take away three penalties. Cut them in half. You win the football game. Dak Prescott lost the entire game. Didn't know who to throw it to. Was abusing Cedric Wilson. You have Amari Cooper, probably the best route runner in the NFL. And like I said before, you have CeeDee Lamb that you couldn't just keep feeding him. Lost. Second and 29. Why are you forcing a comeback route in your own territory to Cedric Wilson that gets picked off? Boom. Game's over. We're down three scores. It's just, it's aggravating.
I knew it was going to happen. I could hear the frustration.
I looked over to my dad watching the game. I'm like, man, I freaking hate watching playoff games. These are way too stressful and annoying, especially when you're the Cowboys fan, because you're just expecting something bad to happen the whole time. But going forward, I mean, it is what it is. Cowboy fans, realistic Cowboy fans, at least know what's up. So we need to get better. We need another linebacker. We need an offensive lineman for sure. And going forward, Zeke can no longer be the primary carrier because Tony Pollard didn't get enough touches in the game, and that's for damn sure. And their running styles are very different, and Tony Pollard definitely cares a lot more than Zeke does. And that Zeke came out with, oh, he played with a torn PCL throughout the season. Everybody got an excuse. It's not an excuse to being soft on the football field. And that's it. I'm done. That's all I got.
So let me interrogate you a little bit here. I got some questions. Mike McCarthy, you're saying he has to go.
Yeah, he has to go. They're not gonna get rid of him, but he gotta go.
Hypothetically speaking, I researched this as well. Jerry Jones has a radio spot every week on the radio show. The last time he canceled his radio show appearance, he fired Jason Garrett. He did cancel his appearance this week, so there's no news coming out of Dallas yet. Obviously, we all know Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore are hot names on the head coaching front right now. Is this like a fire McCarthy and hope to promote one of them to head coach? Or are you expecting to clean house and start fresh?
You know, I wouldn't be against if he wanted to get rid of McCarthy, kind of push him out and hire either Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn, because those coaches are definitely a lot more out to prove themselves than McCarthy is, per se. And I'll be a fan of it. Kellen Moore, I don't think Kellen Moore is going to get hired this year. Dan Quinn will probably get hired this year somewhere. But even if they took Kellen Moore and promoted him to head coach, I would not be opposed to it.
All right. Last thing, we got to mention the last play. You're driving down the field with no timeouts left. And is this, if you didn't watch the game and you were, you know, stuck on Pluto or something, Dak Prescott with, I think, 13 or 14 seconds left in the game, calls what looks like a scheduled QB draw, runs up the middle of the field, maybe 6 seconds left, goes to the ground. They try to scramble to get the ball spiked, but they don't get the ball to the referee in time. He doesn't get his hands on the ball. Time runs out, game over. First and foremost, is that a Dak call or is that something the offensive coordinator called?
I think that was called by the offensive coordinator because they came out and said afterwards that that's a play that they do practice,
right?
Actually, during the hurry up and whatever.
And I also heard that this type of play, Dak is supposed to know where the 10-yard marker is and where 12 yards is. And he just kept running and went to 16 or 17 yards. And that's your 3 seconds you're missing. So not trying to put blame on one individual, but we all know Dak didn't play like Dak Prescott should be playing. And this play to kind of culminate this game, did he shit the bed in this? Like, is he just not paying attention, not knowing what's going on?
I mean, he shit the bed before this play even happened, but I watched the play countless of times afterwards. And then I watched other, like the Rams, when they went to the Super Bowl, they had like a similar situation. So there's a few scenarios that if you're going to run this play that you have to do it, like you have to run through from handing the ball to the referee. First and foremost, Dak should have kneed at the 30-yard line instead of the 20-yard line. What's really the difference between 10 yards? It would have saved them about 5 seconds.
Right.
And then instead of putting the ball down, you hand the ball to the referee and you create a path for the referee to go and mark the ball. You didn't create a path. Where do you think the referee's coming from? The referee's not coming from the front of you. He's coming from behind you. You in the center, step to the side, hand the ball to the ref, let the ref go and mark it. He marks it. You say hut. That's it.
Yeah.
They practiced it, but they really didn't practice it full through where you actually have to hand the ball to the referee instead of spotting it. Because even when spotting it, the referee has to pick up the ball, look side to side, and then put it down. Instead of just handing it to him, he looks once and then puts it down. Yep. So that's my take on the whole thing.
Listen,
I don't hate the play call. Play call is fine. You want to get they were chipping off all the way down the field, out. Then you wanted to get 10 more yards, fine. You still didn't get a final shot at the end zone. Nope. They didn't throw it one time at the end zone. They would have had it from the 30. I'm pretty sure Dak could reach the end zone at the 30-yard line. And it's really not that much of a difference from the 30 to the 20. So they could have still had one more shot to try to win the ball game. It was still a miracle shot, but it was still one more shot.
Yeah. And I didn't dislike the play call either. I just hated the execution. And that's what Absolutely. It comes down to.
And that's what it comes down to. But that's what it comes down to. Like I said, seeing it being ran by Goff on their way to, I was against the Cowboys on their way to the Super Bowl. And he got up, gave it to the ref. The ref marked it. Boom. 1 second left.
Yep. I learned this in second grade rec basketball. Shout out to Mr. Barrett, Kerry Barrett's dad, okay, who was running this. Okay.
Okay.
Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You could be practicing the wrong thing and you will not get better. But if you practice to perfection, it makes perfect. And that's that. We'll end it there.
Wait, one more thing.
Yeah.
Those little details, like handing the ball to the referee, comes back to my whole undisciplined football team and McCarthy not being a disciplined football coach. And you see Sean McVay does it with the Rams. And what do? Execute it perfectly. Cowboys, they try to do it, but they don't execute. And that's what it comes down to. Discipline, undisciplined football, which is a reflection of your head coach.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that time. I needed to get that off my chest. I've been saying the same spiel to everybody that's ever asked me about that play.
It sounded like a therapy session. I appreciate you.
I feel so much better. Thank you so much.
Come lay down on this couch now. And let me know. I'm going to show you some pictures. Let me know what you think about them. So let's talk NFL divisional round, some big matchups, big Saturday, big Sunday. You know, I think the wild card weekend is better because of the extra games. Statistics show otherwise because most of them were not competitive at all. Some are saying the divisional round is the best weekend in football. Either way, football is on TV and that's all that fucking matters. This Saturday, the 22nd, 4:30 game, Cincinnati Bengals heading to Tennessee to take on the Titans. Titans are 3.5-point favorite. This game will be on CBS. So I'm expecting the Jim Nance Tony Romo combination on this one. Bengals at Titans. Titans 3.5. John, you want to talk about this one?
We talked about the Bengals before, and actually I want to touch on a point before we even talk about all the games, that this is the first time since 1989 that all the division round spreads are all less than a touchdown, which is phenomenal. Love going it. Forward. And that means it's going to be all competitive football. But you know what you're getting with the Cincinnati Bengals, young, up-and-coming team out there trying to prove themselves going into Tennessee, who's the first overall seed in the playoffs. So they're obviously coming off of a quote-unquote bye week. So Tennessee got their hands full. They got Derrick Henry coming back. Julio Jones is healthy. A.J. Brown's healthy. The defense has been well. They're very similar style of football team, kind of. Joe Burrow's going to be out there to prove himself. I'm going to take Tennessee just because they had the extra week to get healthy, and it's hard to really trust a young quarterback to go out there on the road in such a meaningful football game and be flawless at like he was last week.
Right.
So give me the Titans. I mean, I love the ground and pound. I love Derrick Henry. I love their style of play. A.J. Brown's Mush Squad. Mush Squad fucking alumni.
Up.
So, yeah, give me the Titans in this one.
All right. I like that as well. I just think win or loss, Cincinnati has such a bright future.
Absolutely.
Joe Burrow, like, if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, obviously you want to win the game, but you can't. You just got to be happy with what's going on. You're on the roller coaster and you're ready for the ride.
Absolutely.
Hopefully the ride ends up and you're going on to the next round. But if not, you still were able to get on the roller coaster ride and have fun.
Yeah.
So shout out to Cincinnati. Shout out Joe Burrow. I really don't know where I'm leaning on this one. I think I'm also going to lean Tennessee, home team, extra week to practice, extra week to be healthy, bringing Julio back, bringing Derek back. I think I'm going to lean Tennessee on this one.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have a dog in the fight, but it would be awesome if Cincinnati wins the game outright.
Right? That'd be dope. Second matchup on Saturday, the 22nd. This is the nightcap, 8:15 p.m. on Fox. You're going to have the San Francisco 49ers, not the Dallas Cowboys, but the San Francisco 49ers heading up to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. Packers are -5.5. I'm not going to talk about this one right now, but I'll talk about this in a little bit.
I can hit a few points. Yeah, I can hit.
Do you have any insights on this one?
Yeah. I think this is the only sure shot in the whole freaking divisional round. I think Green Bay has waited to be in a situation like this for a while. You've seen them, their struggles in the past. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been on some other shit this entire season. So they're out there to prove, and they're going against a team that, kudos to Shanahan, kudos to that defense, kudos to Jimmy G, kudos to Debo. Debo's a hell of a freaking talent in the NFL, but they're going to get their clocks kicked in Lambeau Field. I don't even think this is going to be a contest. It's going to be freezing cold. California team in Lambeau Field really doesn't mix well. Shanahan, like I said, he's a great schemer, but I don't even think he could scheme for this one. And he's just going to see Aaron Rodgers, the MVP of the league, and it's going to go out and do his thing.
Yep. I like where your head's at. That's all I'll say right now. I like where your head's at. My boy Debo Samuel, nothing but respect. But we'll talk about this one in a little bit.
Okay.
Sunday, 3 o'clock. I love these later games. The 3 o'clock and the 6:30. Kind of exactly. let me do my thing in the morning. Go to church. If you're scared, go to church. So I go to church. Okay. Los Angeles Rams going down to Tampa Bay to face the Bucks. 3 o'clock NBC. Bucks are 3-point favorite. If you don't mind, I'd like to jump in on this
go
one
ahead,
first.
Go ahead.
I really, really, really like what the Los Angeles Rams have been doing this year. They are the Los Angeles Rams of 2021 are the New York Yankees of the mid-2000s. George Steinbrenner was opening up the checkbook and paying everybody. Randy Johnson was a New York Yankee, okay? You had Roger Clemens, A-Rod, Alfonso Soria. Like, the list goes on. There was, if you were at some point an MVP caliber baseball player in the Yankees in the mid-2000s, you were a New York Yankee. And yep. The checkbook was open, the luxury tax, it was George Steinbrenner, just was all in. And the Rams this year are all in, bringing in Von Miller when Denver thought he was done, bringing in Odell when the Cleveland Browns thought he was done, bringing in Matt Stafford when Detroit knew they couldn't win with Matt Stafford, okay? So all these parts are being brought in to the Los Angeles Rams. And just like the New York Yankees of the mid-2000s, they didn't win shit. Because you're going up against the greatest football player of all time. The greatest football player of all time. The 7-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, Tom Brady, is at home with his team, put his team in the position to have one more home game. And I like the Bucks. I like the Bucks with the points, without the points, don't matter to me. My opinion is the Bucks go on to the NFC Championship game. Where it will be, we'll talk about that in a moment. What do you got on this game?
You know what? I think this game is going to be like fireworks type of deal. I think it's going to come down. There's going to be absolutely zero punting in this game. I think it's going to come down to kind of who's going to make the mistake first to ruin the game for themselves. And as you've seen, as you watch the Rams throughout the season, what has that been? It's been Stafford, and the turnovers have come back and proved costly to wins and losses for the Rams. Now he's in another situation he's not familiar with. Sean McVay, you best believe he's going to coach his fucking ass off in this game. But like you said, they're going against the best football player that has ever lived. And it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a big dogfight. I think whoever wins is going to be by 3. So I'm leaning towards the Rams getting the 3.5 points.
Okay.
But I think it's only because the Bucks are going to win by 3.
Okay.
It's not going to be a blow. I'll be surprised as hell if it's a freaking blowout. But I think this is probably going to be, I don't think it's the game of the weekend. It's going to be the second game of the weekend.
Oh, okay. I wonder what the game of the weekend is going to be for you. Last game of the weekend, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. on CBS. A rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. The Buffalo Bills once again visit the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs, lowest spread of the weekend, -2.5. So essentially a pick 'em. You have any insight on this one, or you want to hold off?
We can hold off on this one, and you could take this and out. We'll revisit this later.
All I'm going to say is that it could be Josh McDaniels. It could be Josh Johnson. It could be Josh Allen. It doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes is in God mode right now, okay? To steal a line from Roman Reigns last Friday on SmackDown, Patrick Mahomes is in God mode right now, okay? Jackson could be off on the sidelines doing his TikTok motherfucking dance. It don't matter. Kermit the Frog, a.k.a. Patrick Mahomes, is in God mode
right now. Can we cancel Jackson Mahomes yet or what?
Man, if I had a brother who was making $500 million to play football, I'd be TikToking on the clock. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? All right? Okay. I'm taking the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs. It's not my bet of the week. Maybe you will have a different opinion. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But I do like the Chiefs to repeat again in this matchup, just like they did last year in the playoffs. So let's put this to the side, the matchups to the side. We did the recap. We'll run through coaching updates. We're 40 minutes in already. We talked about 5 football games. Listen, The world revolves around football. Sports revolves around football right now, so we have to. Some coaches and GM updates. The Raiders fired Mike Mayock after three seasons, so they cleaned house. They're looking for a fresh start. It looks like they're not going to stick with the head coach, Bisaccia, who came in and did a hell of a job on an interim basis, got them to the playoffs. They kind of are not seeing eye to eye when it comes to talks. So my opinion is they're going to be going with a different head coach.
And I actually heard through the grapevine that Harbaugh, Michigan's Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, if he's offered the job, that he will 100% take the Raiders job.
Yeah, if the money is right, why wouldn't you leave Michigan to go to Las Vegas, bro?
Exactly.
We talked about the Cowboys. Steven Jones is confident Mike McCarthy will be returning as head coach. But like I mentioned, Jerry Jones canceled his radio appearance this week. Last time that happened, Jerry Jones did fire head coach Jason Garrett. Gun to your head, John Garris, who's the head coach of the Cowboys next season?
Mike McCarthy, unfortunately.
That's trash. That's trash.
But even so, this is an exciting time for any football fans, especially when you don't have a head coach. They're conducting GM interviews, head coaching interviews, and it's just like, all right, well, let's see what direction the owner wants to go. Are the fans going to be happy about it? Are they going to be upset with it? It's real exciting because it's like so much unknown with your franchise and what direction your franchise is going to end up going in. But it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it is. Latest rumors for the Dolphins, Eric Bieniemy. I have a full-blown boner on that Bieniemy one. Bieniemy
would be a fucking home run.
I would love that. But again, we'll see. A lot of options on the table. It's time to stump 12.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
I got three questions on here.
Oh, shit.
I'll give you the easiest one first. I have full confidence you'll win all three questions, okay?
Okay.
Which running back had back-to-back seasons with more than 100 receptions in 2018 and 2019? So 100 receptions both years for this running back.
Is that McCaffrey?
Christian McCaffrey, one for one, my boy. I like it. All right. Step two, 2 points here. Which player became the first wide receiver to surpass 1,900 yards receiving in a single season in 2012?
Is that Calvin Johnson?
Johnson, Megatron, two for two. All right. This one's difficult.
Oh, shit.
But I got names to offer as well if you need it.
Okay.
Which player led the NFL in yards from scrimmage with two different teams in successive seasons? So 1998 and 1999. First year he was on one team, led the league in yards from scrimmage. Second year he was on the second team, led the league in yards from scrimmage.
It's multiple choice?
Yeah, you ready?
I have an idea, but just to be sure.
Okay. Ricky Waters.
Okay.
Edgerrin James.
Okay.
Marshall Faulk, Tiki Barber.
I'm going to go with Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk. Three for three, my man.
That was my guess. That was the guy in my head from when he went from the Colts to the Rams.
Yeah.
He was a freaking all-purpose yards god.
He was on one. He was on one. I.
He was in his bag.
He was in his bag. All right. Patrick Ramsey, random athlete of the week. Big ups to you, man. I love this one. Talked about him a bunch of times so far in this episode. Tom Brady, the GOAT, greatest football player of all time, 7-time Super Bowl champ, has played with a lot of people and won a lot of people Super Bowl rings. So this week's topic for the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week, as always brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts, is NFL players that have won Super Bowls with Tom Brady as their quarterback. All right? I got five names. You got five names. I'm hoping we don't repeat.
Hopefully, but we got plenty in the tank if we do.
Plenty in the tank. All right? I'm going to go first. I'll start off with one that's easy.
Okay.
This running back was a second-round draft pick, 53rd overall, in the 2009 NFL draft.
Okay.
He's a two-time Super Bowl champ, winning Super Bowl 54 with the Chiefs and Super Bowl 55 with Tom Brady and the Bucks. He was drafted out of Pittsburgh. He has 11,102 career rushing yards and 73 career rushing touchdowns, with another 4,000 receiving yards and 16 receiving touchdowns. Two-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowl running back, part of the NFL All-Decade team of the 2010s. He was drafted by the Eagles. He played for the Eagles, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Bucks, and retired in the last offseason. Who is this player?
Jeez, I might be stumped on this one, bro.
Really?
What year was he drafted?
Drafted in 2009 by the Eagles. He's known for his time as a running back with the Eagles and the Bills. His last two seasons, he was with the Chiefs, won a Super Bowl. Then he got picked up by the Bucks because of all the injuries last year, won the Super Bowl again. We mentioned him in the podcast already earlier on because he's shifty.
Is this LeSean McCoy?
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy. I forgot he was on the team. That's what I was leaning towards, but I forgot he was with them. I forgot he was with Brady and them.
Yep, he won the Super Bowl. He was like the third string because
yeah.
It was not LeGarrette Blount. Fuck's his name. The running back now.
Fournette.
And then they had RJ, Ronald Jones. But yeah.
Dang, I forgot he was there. Shit.
You're not getting a point for that one though.
Why not?
Bro, I had to tell you, bro.
I got it eventually. That's why I was leaning. I was leaning.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I forgot he was there last year.
Yeah. All right, you're up.
Right. My guy was a second round pick by the Patriots out of Oregon. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. He's part of the Patriots all-decade team. He had 773 tackles, 11 interceptions. He's played for the Patriots, the Eagles for one season, and then back to the Patriots. Who is he?
Went to the Eagles for one season and then back to the Patriots?
Yes.
You said he's a linebacker from Oregon?
Defensive back.
Defensive back.
773 tackles, 11 interceptions. Part of the Patriots all-decade team out of the 2010s. Safety.
2010s?
Yes.
Is it Patrick Chung?
Yes, it is.
Patrick Chung. That's right. Didn't have any success with Philly, so he went back.
He was the leader of that defense for a while.
Oh, yeah. All right, next one. This undrafted wide receiver spent time with 8 different franchises, including all 4 teams in the AFC East. He's part of 2 Super Bowl championship teams with Tom Brady. Super Bowl 51, where the Patriots beat the Falcons 34-28. And Super Bowl 53, where the Patriots beat the Rams 13-3. 220 career receptions, 2,900 yards, 19 touchdowns, and another 4 touchdowns in the postseason. He's out of Penn State for lacrosse and Monmouth University. Who is this athlete?
Chris Hogan, the God.
Chris Hogan, 7-Eleven, always open.
What a freaking story. What a career for him.
Crazy. Remember when he was on Knocked Up? Hard Knocks.
Yeah, like just trying to squeak onto the roster. And then look at him freaking making all that money.
He's currently in the professional lacrosse.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's Whip Snakes.
He was with the Saints, I think, for a little bit. Yep.
He was with the
Saints for like last year.
2020 and 2021. Yeah. All right, you're up.
All right, my guy is a 2013 sixth-round pick by the Cincinnati Bengals. He won the Super Bowl 2018-2019 with the Patriots. He played for the Bengals, the Patriots, and is currently on the Texans. He is a Nebraska great. His career stats are 1,828 rushing yards, 17 TDs, 1,300 receiving yards, and 8 TDs. Who is he?
Anybody I was thinking of is right out the window. He was drafted by the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Won the Super Bowl in 18-19 with the Patriots. And he's on the Texans now?
He's currently on the Texans. They actually liked what they saw and signed him for a couple more years. Nebraska, great.
No idea.
Rex Burkhead.
Rex Burkhead. Bro, I was drawing a blank on that. I'm shooting blanks on that one. Shooting blanks.
But right. He's one of the five running backs, you know, that they used by committee.
Yeah, it was him, Deion Lewis. I'm going to stop saying names.
We can say that at the end.
Yeah. Needless to say, I don't have Deion Lewis as one of mine.
I almost did. But
That boy was a problem.
He didn't quite make the cut.
All right. I got to stump you on this one now because you got the points right now.
Ooh. I'm nervous.
This wide receiver was drafted in 2010, third round, 78th overall out of LSU. Spent time with the Panthers, Patriots, Bengals, and Raiders. Part of the Super Bowl 49 team when the Patriots beat the Seahawks 28-24 on that interception on the goal line. Career stats, 406 receptions, 5,398 yards, 31 touchdowns. In that Super Bowl, he had the first touchdown of the game. And he has the trifecta of winning the SEC championship, the BCSL national championship when he was with LSU, and being a Super Bowl champion. Who is this wide receiver? So 2010 third round draft pick, wide receiver out of LSU. He was on that 07 team that won the national championship. That was Leonard Fournette, I believe. Yeah. Drafted to the Panthers. Then he went to the Patriots, Bengals, and Raiders. Ended his career as a Raider.
Let me throw two names out there.
Go ahead. Michael Clayton, right? Or is it?
Yeah, it's not him. Though. Is it like Rish Caldwell?
Bro.
Is it David Patton?
Nope. R.I.P. David Patton.
R.I.P. Jabbar Gaffney?
You're done.
Who is it?
Brandon LaFell.
Oh, I forgot. God, about Brandon. He was supposed to be that guy, and he was supposed to be that guy. He actually wasn't bad with the Patriots because they were like, oh, maybe he is going to be good.
But it was Tom Brady. It was at that time period following Randy Moss where they didn't have a number one receiver, and it was like some combination of any white receiver in the league getting the most receptions, and they brought LaFell in. So, All right. I gotta tie it up here. I need this point.
All right. My guy is a 1997 second round pick by the Bengals. He won the Super Bowl with the Patriots in the 2004-2005 season. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. When that year the Patriots won the Super Bowl, he ran for 1,635 yards and 12 tutties. He played for the Bengals and the Patriots, and that's it.
We doubled up.
Oh, we did.
This is my guy.
That's why. Growing up, he was always the one when Fox would be like, oh, here's a game break, and you see freaking Corey Dillon.
68 yards, Corey Dillon. Yep. Corey Dillon, bro. We doubled up on that one. But I'm getting that point because I knew who it was. So. All right. I got one more, and then you got one more?
I still got two.
Okay. Hoping this one doesn't double up because this is a name and a half. You ready for this?
Okay.
This defensive back was a second-round pick, 36th overall, to the Patriots in the 1996 draft out of Washington. Spent 15 seasons in the NFL as a D-back. 15 seasons. Patriots, Bills, Falcons, and Seahawks. Super Bowl championship came part of the Patriots' Super Bowl 36 when they beat the Rams in 2002. Career 709 tackles, 21 sacks, 25 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, 4-time Pro Bowl selection, 3-time All-Pro. So defensive back, Patriots, early 2000s.
What teams did he play for? Patriots?
Patriots, Bills, Falcons, Seahawks. We would know him from his time with the Patriots and the Bills.
Is it Lawyer Malloy?
Lawyer Malloy.
That was my freaking guy too, bro.
Lawyer Malloy, bro. That's my guy.
He was a dog, bro. He was a monster.
Monster. All right. So you got three. I got two. If I get...
You could take the lead. You could take both.
If I get this one, we tied. If we get this one, I tie, and then I could win it.
All right. Here we go. Pressure's on.
Pressure is on. Always is.
My guy is a 2008 second-round pick by the Dallas Cowboys out of Texas A&M. He won the Super Bowl in the 2016-17 season with the Patriots, his only Super Bowl, his only season with the Patriots. He made the Pro Bowl in 2014 with the Chicago Bears. He played for the Cowboys, the Giants, the Bears, the Patriots, and the Packers. His career stats are 433 receptions, 4,573 receiving yards, and 30 touchdowns. Who is he?
1 year with the Patriots, won the Super Bowl, drafted by the Cowboys at A&M.
Yep. Tight end.
Is it a long name?
Kinda.
No, that's not who I was thinking of.
It's not a crazy name.
I was thinking of like that Polynesian
Hawaiian. Nah, it's not. It's nothing crazy like that. This guy has a brother too that played.
Oh shit! Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, there you go.
Martellus Bennett with the unicorn. Okay. Yep. All right. This is for the game. If I get it, I win. If I don't get it, you win. Because we don't do ties around.
If you get this one, kudos to you.
Damn. Okay. We don't do ties around here. So.
All right. So this last guy, 2012 first round pick, 13th overall to the Arizona Cardinals out of Notre Dame. He won the Super Bowl in the 2016-17 season. Again, his only season with the Patriots. He played for the Cardinals, Patriots, and Vikings, Saints, Redskins, and Ravens.
Jesus Christ, been around the block.
266 receptions, 3,959 receiving yards, and 25 touchdowns. Who is he?
All right, so 2012, drafted to the Cardinals. He's a receiver or tight end out of Notre Dame. Spent time with the Cardinals, the Patriots. I know you said the Ravens. Who were the other teams?
Redskins, Saints, and Vikings. But he's really only known for Cardinals and Patriots.
Where do you go to school?
Notre Dame. Yeah.
2012 Notre Dame.
It's not a tight end.
That's that was Manti Te'o's year.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my L gracefully on this one, bro.
Michael Floyd.
Michael Floyd. Holy shit. Bro, this might have been. I have so many. I gotta go through this list because. Ready for some of these names? Troy Brown was part of
the team. Yeah.
Roman Pfeiffer.
Oh shit. Oh shit.
Kenny Britt won one in 2017.
Oh, dang.
Mohamed Sanu in 2019.
Oh god.
Kenjon Barner last year with the
Bucks. Oh shit. Oh yeah, he was on Patrick Ramsey before too.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, some of the names.
You know who else I had? Who I didn't even know won the Super Bowl? Cordarrelle Patterson won it.
With the Patriots. He was.
Kick
and punt return. He didn't touch the field anywhere else.
They tried to use him, but they really didn't know how to use him.
No, got a ring now.
That's all that matters.
Shout out to Tom Brady for getting all these people championship rings, bro. I bet you if you add up all the players he's won Super Bowls with, so he's won 7 Super Bowls, 53-man rosters, give or take 10 to 12 players carry over year to year. Say, we'll just say 40 every season times 7, 210 to 240 people have Super Bowl championships because of Tom Brady. God bless.
He needs a reunion when he's all done.
For real. Everybody and their mama got one. All right, my boy. It's time. We got to wrap this up. We got a couple minutes left before we get booted and zooted. The Mush Squad bets of the week. John, we did not have a good week. We haven't started the year right, man.
I've been struggling. I apologize to the listeners out there. We were so hot and we came back to earth, unfortunately. But I feel good about this week.
I feel good about this week too. I will say we are still 16-7 since we started doing the bets of the week. We still are up $736, which is nice. 70% win percentage. I'll take that all day, every day. But we lost 3 of our last 4. And it's not the way I like doing things. That's not how business is handled around here, John. So I'm going to go first because I know what your pick's going to be and you know what my pick's going to be, but I gotta talk on this real quick.
Go ahead.
The San Francisco 49ers had a huge victory last week against Dallas. Okay? In a dome where 30% of the crowd was 49ers fans. That's Jerry World is a huge stadium, 100,000 fans, a lot of tickets to be sold. 49ers travel really well. Of course, they're going to go to Dallas in the warmth, in a dome. Okay. We already talked about it. You went in depth over this game, how Dallas lost this game more so than Jimmy G and the 49ers won this game, unfortunately. Jimmy G played. He played well. He did not make mistakes. Obviously, we know Debo Samuel is all pro. The defense held their own against a shitty Dallas offense last week. But that's not going to win the game in Lambeau Field up in Green Bay, Wisconsin, against the soon-to-be 2-time straight defending most valuable player. Best quarterback in the league right now. He's not the greatest of all time. He's arguably the best of all time. He's not the GOAT. He's the boat. Aaron freaking Rodgers, man. Okay. Packers are giving 5.5 is what I have it at right now.
Yeah. I think it'll stay there.
I don't think this is going to be close. I don't think this game is going to be close. I think it's going to be something like 31-10, 31-14. Green Bay is on a mission this year to get to a 3rd straight NFC championship. They've had home field the last 2, lost to the Niners 2 years ago, lost to the Bucks last year. They got home field again this year. They got to get to the NFC championship game first. I think they do that. My Mush Squad bet of the week. Lock it in. It is a sure win. Packers minus 5.5. Lock it in.
I love it. I love it because Packers win by a touchdown. They still cover the spread. So
yes, sir. If they win by six. If they win by six.
Worst case scenario, they still cover. The way you were talking earlier about this game makes me a little nervous that maybe we don't see eye to eye on this one.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But I touched on it before. I think the Buffalo Bills are one of the most complete teams in the NFL. Their defense creates turnovers. When Josh Allen is on, he is a monster. When he realizes that he can take off on third downs and run for the first down, he's a monster. Their running game has been on point. They have quality receivers. They're going in to Kansas City again for the second time in the last 2 years. Obviously, you know that they lost last year. But I think they're on a mission as well. Like we said, the offensive coordinator, DeBall, is on a mission. He's going to be probably, if they win this game, the most sought-out coach in the coaching carousel that's the NFL currently. I wish the Bills were getting three. Unfortunately, they're not getting three. They're only getting two. I will take the Buffalo Bills plus two against Kansas City, but I am leaning towards them winning straight up against Kansas City.
Okay. I went on the rant before saying Chiefs, Chiefs, Chiefs. To quote Bad Boys 2, Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, we ride together, we die together. Mush boys for life.
And you know what? I haven't been picking the greatest the last few weeks, but you know what they say? When you're going through hell, just keep going. Right. And I'm going to keep going, believe me. But I love the Bills, honestly. I think this is I might get some heat for saying this. I think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
Let's take it one week at a time, Johnny Cakes.
I think the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
Listen, I liked where you were heads at was that with the whole walk through hell, keep moving. If God brought us to it, God will get us through it.
I like that one better.
We talking about gambling, bro. We talking about gambling. We bringing God into it.
I kind of like that one better. I'm going to save that one on the back burner.
Packers minus 5.5. Bills plus 2. With potentially looking Bills money line. We'll talk about
that. Sprinkle a little something on the money line. A
little Salt Bay action, right? yeah, I'm riding. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you on this one. Let's do it. Let's get the dub. Let's get our listeners back in the right state of mind.
Yes,
put some more green in their pockets. Speaking of our listeners, we had some big news break over the last 48 hours. Not only can you catch us on YouTube, we have our Instagram account. We post videos and messages to practically all day long, every day. But you can now find us on Spotify Podcasts. You can now find us on Apple Podcasts. Soon to come, Google Podcasts. Man, we going worldwide. So if you don't like watching this face, the moneymaker right here.
Okay. I don't know how you can't, but go on.
Okay. If you don't like watching us, that's cool. I understand. You can listen to us now. We're going to get the podcast up. Not sure if all the old episodes are going to translate over with the file reformatting, but going forward, this episode and everything going forward, you'll be able to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, watch us on YouTube. And if we go live on Instagram or YouTube, you'll be able to catch us there too. Cool?
There's no excuse for anybody to not listen now. You can listen while you drive. You can listen while you do yard work. You can listen while you just clean up around the house. So you don't need to watch us anymore. You can just hear these beautiful voices.
Facts. We are at 103 followers on Instagram. My challenge to the Mush Squad podcast listeners is if you can promote us, if you can keep talking about us and keep sharing about us and get more followers, if we can get to 200 followers by the Super Bowl, I got a giveaway to give to you guys.
Oh, okay?
We're going to run a giveaway. I'm going to get it right now from the closet.
Let's check this.
Right off the sidelines at MetLife Stadium.
Oh, man.
A crucial catch. This was from.
Oh, dang. That's lit.
a crucial catch NFL towel, okay?
Yo, that's
right off the sidelines. I believe this was during the Raiders game. The Raiders came to play the Jets. They went actually back-to-back games. They were at the stadium. Raiders, Jets. So this is a QB towel from the Raiders sideline. Crucial catch.
That's lit.
If the listeners get us to 200 followers by the Super Bowl, we'll run a giveaway. How about that?
I love that. All right, my boy. And it got the Velcro on the back.
Oh, shit. I got the Velcro.
Oh, my God. Stop playing with them, Sauce.
Just listen to this.
Okay. Stop playing with them, Sauce.
I need to get to 200 followers before the Super Bowl. Last words for LeBron. Bring us home, 12.
Lakers had one of the best wins of the season 2 games ago. They beat the Utah Jazz in L.A. They followed that game. Frank Vogel benched Russell Westbrook in the fourth quarter, and they lost to the lowly Indiana Pacers. I don't think you can blame LeBron all this much anymore. It's Russell Westbrook. It's team chemistry. It's Lakers management. It's time to make some changes. I can't wait for the trade deadline. If Russ is still on the team, Lakers are in trouble, and I'll chalk up the season as a big L.
But LeBron's playing MVP like football, though.
I mean, LeBron.
Basketball.
LeBron been killing it. LeBron been killing it, but, oh, man, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch.
But Russell Westbrook gets a yam every once in a while.
Oh, my God. That's the best thing he did all season.
Crazy. Appreciate everybody. 12, I appreciate you, my boy.
I appreciate you more.
All right. We going international. We going worldwide, my boy. We going worldwide.
Listen, everybody listen up any way you can. Any way you can listen possibly.
At Mush Squad Podcast on Instagram. That's like the center of everything. You follow us on Instagram, you're going to get all the news, all the sports, all the funny shit we talk regularly. You'll be able to get all the links. We have the link tree set up. You click on that link in the bio. You could listen to us anywhere in the world. All right, my boy?
Let's do it. Let's do it again next week.
All right. Same back time, same back channel. You heard? Later.